This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. After the Fifth Circuit reinstates Texas heartbeat bill, the Department of Justice again tries to block it.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
An appeals court has now reinstated the law, which effectively bans most abortions in the state. This comes nearly 48 hours after a judge had halted it.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
It is likely the Supreme Court will eventually weigh in on the merits of that Texas law. And in December, the new conservative majority on the bench here will face its first major test on abortion with another case from Mississippi that directly asked the justice to consider overturning Roe v. Wade.
And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Talking about up and down and topsy-turvy and talking about bumps in the road, this Texas law has had that, that's for sure. Let me tell you what's happening. There's a law in Texas, the fetal heartbeat law, that has been challenged and includes now a challenge by the Department of Justice. A judge declared the law unconstitutional. It's made one trip up to the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court let the law go into effect, went back down to the district court. The district court again tried to stop the law and then issued an injunction. And now, and this is important to understand what's going on here, the Fifth Circuit has issued a stay again. Let's go right to CeCe Hile, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ. CeCe, give us the lay of the land right now. This law keeps getting bounced back and forth, and it's a fetal detection of heartbeat is basically when the state of Texas is now recognizing the life of the unborn child as far as abortion goes. But this has gone up and back and probably on its way to the Supreme Court again, I suspect. But give us the kind of the understanding of the history here.
Sure. So just like you said, on September 1st, this law went into effect and it bans abortions once a baby's heartbeat is detected. But it puts the enforcement procedure in the hands of individual citizens. And so that's what makes it very interesting. And like you said, the abortion advocates, they sued Texas immediately. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court let it stand on procedural grounds. Now the DOJ has sued Texas. And we saw a district judge last Wednesday grant a preliminary injunction in joining the law. But on Friday, Texas went to the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court, and the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court granted an administrative stay. So as it stands right now, this law banning abortions effectively is in effect in Texas. Now, the DOJ did answer yesterday, and so we will see what the Fifth Circuit says, if it can stand or if it'll be enjoined pending this appeal.
You know, this goes in a long line of cases involving the life issue that we're involved in. We've got that Eighth Circuit case, a court representing the state of Montana. We're going to talk later in the broadcast about a pro-life sidewalk counseling case. By the way, the first series of those cases I started handling in 1988 in front of Judge Nick Lambros, who happens to be, Andy, your father-in-law.
I was just
texting your wife and said 1988 is when we first did these. I know we're short on time here, but we've been doing this for a long time.
Well, that's at least 33 years, Jay, and Judge Lambros at that time threw out 400 cases that had been brought by the Solicitor General of Fulton County against sidewalk counselors and abortion clinics, saying, I'm not going to stop anybody from counseling somebody not to have an abortion and not to kill their child. And we won those cases. I'm proud to say that my father-in-law was the state court judge in Fulton County who handled those cases. But Jay, and you were the chief counsel then and are still the chief counsel now, 33 years later, still fighting the battle.
It's a little bit of a bigger organization now than it was then. I'll tell you that.
Somewhat bigger.
Yeah. You don't forget the humble beginnings. And here we are. We're going to talk later in the broadcast about that. Rick Rennell's also joining us. So, Logan, we've got a jam-packed program.
That's right, we do. Lots of guests coming on. The show is going on for the next hour. And if you want to be a part of it, you can right now. If you're watching on social media, which, by the way, if you're listening on radio, you can actually watch and see us in studio each and every day. That's on our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter. You can also find us on YouTube broadcasting live. If you're watching on all those, interact with it. Like, share, subscribe, do all those things. Make sure more people see it. And if you want to be on the air yourself, you can be. 1-800-684-3110. You have something to say about this? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Secula. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Some phone lines are open right now if you want to be on the air. It's a great time to call. And we also be joined later on by Rick Grinnell. And Dad, we are currently discussing what happened in the courts, which is, you know, it keeps going back and forth. If you think you're watching a replay, you're not. We're live right now because last week we said that the Texas law was removed, and now it's back in place. Maybe you can give people sort of a run-through of how that works, leaning towards what everyone assumes is the inevitable United States Supreme Court case. Yeah. And do we live in a time where all of this, I think a lot of people say, is necessary to have all of these circuit courts to eventually, when we all know where this is going?
The circuit courts serve a valid purpose, and that is the Supreme Court can only hear about 100 cases a year. And Logan, as you know, they're not even hearing that right now. They're hearing more like 90. And so the circuit courts are where most of these cases are adjudicated finally. But you're absolutely correct. When it comes to the issue of the right to life, those cases, as you know, because I've done so many of those at the Supreme Court, those cases tend to continue all the way to the Supreme Court. This one it already has. So this one's had a kind of an interesting history, because if you look at the case, here's what's happened. Yeah, they passed this heartbeat bill in Texas. It was immediately challenged. Judge struck it down. They went to the Fifth Circuit. Texas did. Got a stay at the Fifth Circuit. Objections were made when it went en banc, and then they went ultimately Supreme Court. Supreme Court allowed the stay to take place. Did not address the merits. So we'll address the merits later, but they didn't see anything that was worthy of a stay of the law being put in place. Then Texas, and then with the Department of Justice comes in against Texas as if Planned Parenthood can't handle it themselves. And a judge reissues the injunction. Texas takes it up to the Fifth Circuit. Fifth Circuit issues an administrative stay. But let me go to Fan Bennett here, because it's ironic that Planned Parenthood needed the help of the Department of Justice here. Pretty big organization. They have the right to do it, DOJ, to enter into it, obviously. But it just tells you where the administration is on these issues, and frankly, what the outcome is going to be as far as their staying involvement. The Department of Justice is going to stay engaged in this.
Well, the abortion lobby is an enormous force in Washington, D.C., as you know, Jay. I mean, I would take it all the way back to when Joe Biden was running for president. They essentially got him to reverse four decades of abortion policy, his view on the Hyde Amendment, his view on whether or not taxpayers should have to fund abortion. But I think it's particularly ironic when you talk about these line of cases, Jay, because we're at a point in our nation's history where this debate over when life begins and when life in the womb merits protection is really raging in the states. I mean, we're talking about the Texas law today that protects affects life after a heartbeat. But you've also got that law in Mississippi that's heading for the Supreme Court. They would restrict abortion after 15 weeks of age. So you really are seeing the process play out in a way that our founders envisioned. But what are they doing in Washington, D.C., Jay? The House of Representatives has actually already passed a bill, and Leader Schumer has said he is going to call it for a vote in the United States Senate in the coming weeks. That would do what, Jay? It would codify Roe, and it would say all of these restrictions, all of this debate that's happening in the states, that would be preempted. So, Jay, the Mississippi law would go off the books. The Texas law would go off the books. The other laws would go off the books. And by the way, it's not just restrictions that protect the life of the unborn, Jay. It's even safety protocols for women, hospital admitting privileges. All of those pieces of safety provisions would go off the books if this legislation would pass. So it's a coordinated effort on the abortion side in Washington, D.C., Jay.
There's no doubt about it, but then go to CeCe Hyle here. The fact of the matter is the ACLJ, we're front and center. We're representing the state of Montana in a major case at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit, again, right below the Supreme Court, dealing with the life issue. We've filed briefs, and of course, in the case that is the direct challenge, CeCe, to Roe versus Wade. So Roe is up for a direct challenge in a case at the Supreme Court that's going to be heard in December. And the ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, and other entities filed three separate briefs in those cases. CeCe?
Yeah, so the Dobbs case, like you said, is going to be heard in December. And we did file three briefs. And the European Center for Law and Justice brief was amazing because it literally states how European law is better on abortion than American law. And I think many people don't understand that because they think that the United States is conservative, but we are not conservative on this issue, on protecting a baby's life.
You know, Andy, you are, of course, are the counsel of record for our European Center for Law and Justice in that case. It's a fascinating brief because it traces the European law on abortion, and European law is much more protective of the unborn child than the United States.
I'm ashamed to say that that's the case, Jay. The Europeans have a greater feel for the sanctity of human lives than the United States does. We did a survey of the countries in Europe, members of the European Union, those who are not members of the European Union, and in an extensive brief that we filed on behalf of the ECLJ, the European Center, our European arm, centered in Strasbourg, France, in which I am intimately involved and where I will be later next month, found that the restrictions on avortement, to use the French word, or abortion are much stricter, and the right and sanctity to life in Europe is much greater in the European countries than in the United States. And isn't that a sad commentary on the state of the American legal system and what we feel about life? Isn't that a sad thing to have to admit? I think it is.
No, it really is. I mean, the Europeans, you would think, you know, they seem to be more progressive on so many issues. And here you have the United States of America leading the world as far as not only abortion providers and abortions being done, but also the fact that we are the least protective of life. And I know we're getting comments are starting to come in, Logan. But, you know, we have documented our involvement. And as I said, going back to 1988, I appeared in a state court in Fulton County in Atlanta, Georgia, where Andy's father-in-law was the judge way back then in 1988, Nick Lambros, on abortion protests. We're going to talk about that later in the broadcast. And, you know, we won 400 cases there in that particular proceeding. But the fact of the matter is, and you know, you grew up with this, this has been a focal issue for us for literally four decades.
Yeah, it's been one of the sort of flagship issues of the ACLJ, and we have documented it many times. And you can see a movie we did. I mean, it's been 10 plus years ago now, but it's on ACLJfilms.org, or I'm sorry, .com, ACLJfilms.com. And it's the film Choosing Life, which is a history of the pro-life movement up until about 10 years ago. Obviously, a lot has changed since then. But if you want to give yourself sort of an overview, that's available for free on our website, as well as our films related to life, including Abortion Inc., which kind of goes into the business side of the abortion business. And it's pretty interesting. And it, again, our great team here put it together. You can find that on ACLJfilms.com, as well as all our YouTube channel. We have so much content where we're talking about it. Yeah, it's been an issue that has changed a lot as technology has changed, as people's tone has changed. And I think that there is even undercurrents within the church. You have to have this discussion now. It used to be a pretty black and white issue when it comes to where the church stood on it. That's shifted a lot. So you got to change your tactics. You know, in the 80s, you were out there protesting on the streets, and maybe things have to be different now when it comes to how we deal with the life issue holistically.
Yeah. Well, and that holistic aspect of it is more of the, Cece, the medical science has advanced so much for the life of the unborn child, that that has affected a lot of the ways the states are, in fact, regulating abortion, because the life of the child, I mean, they're doing surgeries in 20 weeks in utero. So there are still sidewalk counselors. We're going to talk about that at the end of the broadcast or near the end of the broadcast. But the fact of the matter is the medical science has advanced so much that arguing that this is not a life really, you know, that whole argument that this is not a human life makes absolutely no sense when you just look at the science.
Absolutely. And I think Planned Parenthood knows that. They're losing the battle there. People know that this is a baby, but they try to spin it and they try to make it about women's rights and a woman's right to access reproductive health care. They don't want to talk about this woman is choosing to terminate the life of her child. But we see that, like in South Dakota, where we are representing South Dakota, there are common sense laws in place, common sense laws that require informed consent. And if you're ever going to have informed consent, it should be when you're making a medical decision to terminate the life of a baby. And so we see that states are implementing common sense laws, and I applaud them.
Yeah, you know, common sense laws and different kind of laws that you're seeing. Like we're dealing with at the Eighth Circuit a really advanced informed consent provision of the Montana statutory scheme. And frankly, I think it's unique. It's important. It gives women that are maybe in a core situation an opportunity to get counseling as a requirement before they get the abortion. That is, I thought, again, these are unique approaches, and I think very worthy of fighting. And the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, are all engaged in this issue front and center. I mean, we are on top of this, folks. We are in the Supreme Court of the United States with three briefs. We're at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're in a trial court. We're about in the Third Circuit in New Jersey. So we are heavily vested in standing up for life. Logan?
Absolutely. We'll be joined in the next segment by Rick Grinnell. Is that correct? Just confirming. Yes. In the next segment, Rick Grinnell. Pretty interesting development. It's coming out of the Pentagon as one of the main software chiefs quit, claiming that China has already won, and he just threw in the towel and said they're the global tech winner compared to what we have to offer here in America. We're going to discuss that with Rick Grinnell, his thoughts on that coming up, someone who would know a lot about that. If you have any questions related to that or to the issue of life that we are handling, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also, check out aclj.org. And as you saw yesterday, if you want to be the first to know about our brand new series, Revenge of the Taliban, go to aclj.org/Taliban and sign up now.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by Rick Grinnell on Seculo today because this came out and it's something we should talk about pretty aggressively. Rick, maybe you could give us a brief understanding of this topic, but essentially what I told our audience before this was that the Pentagon, one of the software chiefs, said, you know what? China has won the global tech war. I'm out.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this is really scary, Logan. When you think about what this means, it's an admittance that we're failing. And I've tried to say before, Russia is a problem, but China is a crisis. And we've got to be able to understand that American companies that are doing sensitive classified work for the American government should not also be working in China with junior partners. If you are a junior partner with someone, with a company in China, that company is beholden to the Communist Party of China. There is no question about that. Anyone who is listening to their classified intelligence briefings will tell you that this is the way that China is manipulating data and getting the best of us. And this individual at the Pentagon who has resigned because the system isn't supporting the changes that he believes we need. We can't continue to have Chinese partners when it comes to our drones or our microchips. They are using backdoor techniques to get our information and to get the best of us. This is basic. I don't understand why Washington can't figure this out. Yep.
Dad. Oh, hold on. I think we got to get your mic up here. You there, Dad? Oh, we're having some technical difficulties.
How about now?
There, we got you. We got you. Go ahead.
All right. So, Rick, let me ask you this. You served as the Director of National Intelligence. I think it's important for our – we just say that all the time as if everybody knows what that is, but people don't. Will you explain, as we talk about this topic, what your job was for the administration as the DNI?
Sure. What the Director of National Intelligence does, and it started after 9/11, when we realized that our intelligence agencies had all the pieces leading up to 9/11. We knew there were bad actors. We knew that they were trying to start a sleeper cells in the United States. We knew that they were garnering the programs that they needed to do this attack. But we didn't have it all put together, A plus B plus C plus D. And so George Bush, President Bush, decided that after 9/11, in order to get agencies to talk amongst themselves, intelligence agencies, that we should create another bureaucracy to force them to talk. Now, I'm one that doesn't believe that it works. I think that siloing all of our intelligence agencies is bad. But the Director of National Intelligence is, in theory, supposed to take all of the intelligence from all of the different intelligence agencies of the United States, get them talking, get them coordinated, and to make sure that the programs that we have are not duplicate. And that is a real problem because with so many agencies, we're having agencies compete against each other, and that means wasting tax dollars.
So the technology chief of the Pentagon resigns, and he says, I resign because the Chinese have already beat us. We're 20 years behind. We've got really low-quality, low-grade, internet and computer technology going on right now. And then makes the decision that that's it. He's done. And says, you know what? This is not good for my kids. It's not good for my grandkids. How serious is this?
It's very serious because, in essence, what he is doing is he's quitting because he's saying the changes that need to happen are not being done, that the system, the public policy leaders are not taking the threat seriously enough, and therefore he doesn't want to be a part of something that somehow gives validation to a process that he thinks is on the wrong road, that is dangerous, and that is somehow moving us towards a relationship with China where they beat us. And he doesn't want to have any part of it. But make no mistake, Jay, he has solutions that he put forward to say, this is how we fix the system. This is how we can get America away from China to have our process better. And no one is listening to him, so he resigned.
Rick, I just had a question for you. You know, we have Joe Biden, and we have the Biden administration now meeting with the Taliban. We have all these things happening, but he announced a virtual summit with China. And I was just curious, how does that help? What's going on now?
Look, we've already seen that when the Chinese came to Alaska, they lectured us on human rights. They are aggressive in their diplomacy. They're now threatening Taiwan. When we decide to have some sort of a diplomatic Zoom meeting with them, it's useless. We need to have diplomacy that has muscle. We need to have U.S. policy that has consequences. And that means, look, I've been a big advocate for having a law that says if you are an American company working in the United States government contracting world, where you have a contract with either DOD, the Pentagon, the State Department, or an intelligence agency, if you're an American company doing sensitive work for America's intelligence services, you should not be allowed to work inside China. This is a basic wall that we should have, except there are a whole bunch of people in Washington who won't go along with that, including Republicans. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue anymore. We've got Republicans who are absolutely against barring U.S. companies from doing business both with China and America on sensitive intelligence contracts. And to me, that should be instituted immediately.
You know, I've asked this, Rick. We only got 2 minutes left. I don't want people to lose hope here that this is a problem we can't get around. There are solutions.
There's no question there are solutions. And that means first recognizing that China is a crisis to us, that they are trying to grab our data, that they are not an honest broker when it comes to what they do. You know, they don't have a rule of law, Jay, but they manipulate our rule of law by suing us in our courts. This is something that we can't do. We can't sue them in their courts. They don't have a process, but they will manipulate our process to benefit them. They've manipulated the WTO, and they manipulate currencies. We have to get much more serious about pushing back and having real consequences for China.
Rick Ronell, we appreciate you, your comments and insight, and of course also appreciate that you're a key part of our team here at the American Center for Law and Justice at the ACLJ. Again, Rick, thanks for being with us. Great insight. Logan, we've got a great next half hour coming up too.
Yep, another half hour coming up. If you don't get it on your local station, if you're listening on the radio, you can find us live broadcasting right now, if you're hearing it live, on Facebook at facebook.com/jseculo. Just search for that. On YouTube, search for the ACLJ channel. You'll see we're broadcasting live there right now to thousands of people. You can discuss and you can also see us. And if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We'll continue this conversation about China. We'll also talk about the life issue and the Texas bill and how it's been reinstated and taken away and back. And we'll go discuss all of that and so much more here in the second half hour of Seculo. In the meantime, visit aclj.org not only to support the work here, make your financial donations, but check out the amazing blogs and news stories that get put there. Check out the amazing video content. We got the new series, Revenge of the Taliban, coming out in just a few weeks. You can find that by signing up to be the first to know at aclj.org/Taliban. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We've covered a lot of material already. We just had Rick Rinella on discussing a major issue of cybersecurity that is very serious. Our chief technology officer, basically, for the Pentagon resigned, saying that we're so far behind China, we're not catching up. And then we've been talking about the life issue, but I want to talk about the situation with China for a moment here, Logan, and get your input, because this impacts your generation more so than anybody else. This was a very troubling development, and when the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer of the Pentagon, quits, that is a strong and dangerous signal.
Pretty scary to see those headlines coming across saying, you know, we're now, I mean, what was the actual word that he said? Our government systems were kindergarten level. And look, if you've worked with the government, you know that's true. Sadly, I mean, I'm sure that there's stuff we don't see, but, you know, dealing with them from a day-to-day basis, whether it's the IRS or whether it's, you know, anything that you've ever had to do, a passport system, it's all antiquated. And it does feel like we're living in the 80s. But when that's confirmed to you by one of the chief, you know, computer strategists, chief software team members of the Pentagon, it does make you feel uneasy when they say, hey, China's won. They got global dominance. Nothing we can do about it. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with having these conversations, talking about it, figuring out how we can get better. We're still one of the global leaders in creating this tech. We obviously are then sending it to China to get made. But, you know, that's something that would have to be to fix that problem, which is manufacturing. That is such a huge deal that is something you can't just flip the switch on. Because, again, the efficiency, the technology, it's all being made in China, and it's all being done better. So it is a concern for sure, Dad.
Yeah, I just, and Dan, in Washington, what's the reaction to the situation with China right now? How do you feel about that, or what are you sensing?
Yeah, well, I think the comments that Rick made about needing a renewed bipartisan focus, really, people need to take that to heart. Because, look, I think we can be lulled to sleep, Jay, that the threat from China is not as real as it is. Look, we need to say it very plainly. They aim to be the world superpower, and they aim to do it in the next decade or two. And, Jay, here's the thing. They're willing to steal to do it. They do it with intellectual property all the time. They're willing to subvert to do it. They're willing to spy to do it. They're willing to take economic advantage. And so whether it's this administration, the next administration, this Congress, or the next Congress, we need a bipartisan decision to get tough on this. To Logan mentioned bringing manufacturing home. That's certainly a big part of it, to remove leverage from the Chinese. But we've also got to get tough on trade. We've got to be willing to use sanction leverage and the other. Jay, this is something that you bring up a lot. We actually need China, but they need us too. And in order for us to mutually benefit from each other, we can't play by two sets of rules. And we need a bipartisan decision to say, we're going to be on Team America. We want to be partners with China, but we're not going to let them steal from us to do it. We're going to get tough on them. We're going to make them play by the same set of rules as the rest of the world. And Jay, when they don't, there's going to be a price to pay. Republicans, Democrats, and independents, they should all be on the same page on that front.
You know, Andy, we've talked about the situation with China a lot. We're looking at some issues right now with China. This is a very serious threat. I mean, one of the most serious global threats we have.
Well, it is indeed, Jay, and one that we have not really focused on in the United States like we should have. The events that occurred today when the chief technology officer in the Pentagon quits and says we're nothing more than kindergartners with in comparison to the Chinese should scare us to death, because in technology, that is where the 21st century is headed. And when we are just likened to kindergartners with respect to the Chinese, that should cause us to really take stock of the situation that exists, and the Biden administration needs to wake up. We can't go through another 3.5 years being kindergartners to the Chinese.
Might be an interesting Freedom of Information Act request, Logan, to find out what kind of emails this former chief technology officer was sending out to get a handle on how bad this situation is. We're going to take a look at that.
Yeah, might as well take a look at it. Who knows what they'll say? We always know. We get some interesting responses sometimes, but you keep pushing, you get answers. If you've got some questions and need answers, hey, it's a good segue. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open right now. If you'd like to be on the air, it's a good time to call. We'd like to take as many comments and questions as we can in the back half of the show. So 1-800-684-3110. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Like, subscribe, do all that. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We've been talking about a lot of issues. We've talked about China. We've talked about the Texas law on abortion. We talked about the new case we're doing at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit dealing with the issue of abortion. And then we've got another one in the Third Circuit, or at least in New Jersey, Third Circuit for now, probably back to the trial court. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we have been standing for life, including, and we've done everything from the modern technology on life and defending the fetal heart bills and that kind of thing to sidewalk counseling. And as I said, in 1988, we were at Fulton County State Court representing 400 protesters who were speaking out for life, including sidewalk counselors. They were all charged with crimes. We ended up getting a great victory in that case. And as I mentioned, Andy Economo's father-in-law was the judge, Judge Nick Lambros. I'm sure he's smiling down from heaven right now. And that was, I mean, it's hard to believe. Andy, we'll get to Jeff in a second. Hard to believe that was all those years ago, but there it was.
33 years ago, Jay, fighting for life just as you're doing today. You were chief counsel of ACLJ then, you still are. And we were fighting for life before a judge, my father-in-law, who said very clearly, I'm not going to stop anybody from counseling somebody on the street against murder. And that's exactly right. What he said, and that's where he put his ruling and his judgment. But all those 400 protesters who were being prosecuted for crimes, those were criminal cases, Jay, if you remember.
No, exactly. You go to jail for this stuff. Jeff Surtees, senior counsel for the ACLJ, that was 32 years ago, as Andy said, but we've got one right now. Jeff, give us the background on this case out of New Jersey.
Sure thing, Jay. Yeah, the city of Englewood, New Jersey, adopted an abortion buffer zone ordinance that prevents sidewalk counselors and others from going within 8 feet of an abortion clinic entrance or driveway, although agents of the clinic, Jay, including so-called escorts, are permitted free passage. And if you can believe it, this ordinance is almost entirely word for word the same as the Massachusetts buffer zone law that the Supreme Court unanimously struck down as unconstitutional in 2014 in McCullen v. Coakley. Well, anyway, we sued the city on behalf of a longtime sidewalk counselor who, in rain, cold, you know, no matter the weather, wants to speak with women entering the clinic. And like all sidewalk counselors, she doesn't want to, like, show them graphic pictures of things and yell at them or anything like that. She simply wants to tell them that God loves them, that help is available to them and their children, that they are not alone. Well, after extensive paper discovery and numerous depositions, multiple rounds of briefing, We got summary judgment from the district court. It was a resounding victory. And the court, where the court held that the ordinance violated both the United States and New Jersey constitutions. Well, the city appealed to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And because of a panel not exactly, how shall I say, ideologically friendly to our client's position, the court reversed the district court. Now, the court didn't uphold the ordinance. The court said that the constitutionality of the ordinance couldn't be decided without a trier of fact making certain factual determinations. So that's what we're getting ready for now. We're currently hard at work on reviewing and putting together the materials that are needed for this final pretrial order, which is due on December 3rd. And then just 4 days after that, we have a final pretrial conference, and the trial is going to be scheduled soon right after that.
So I think for people to understand, Jeff, the scope and significance of this, you actually maybe a little bit of history here. You actually may be trying this case by Zoom.
We may be trying this case by Zoom. You know, we've heard a lot about the Supreme Court doing stuff by teleconference and a lot of the Court of Appeals doing things by Zoom. And here we are doing a trial with numerous witnesses, numerous documents, and all of that all being done via Zoom. So it's a new day. And we'll see how it goes. We're working hard to make sure that we have all that technology down. We've done a few practice rounds to make sure that everything is done without a glitch.
It's very different. I'll tell you that. I've done depositions. I did an arraignment about 2 weeks ago. It's a very different process. But Jeff, I want to focus on for another moment here that we had been at the ACLJ, the fight for life. Your father-in-law, Pat Monahan, I know we're bringing up nostalgia here, but Pat Monahan, still a senior counsel with the ACLJ. When we mentioned that case in front of Judge Lambros, your father-in-law, Pat Monahan, and I were already working together, and he was my co-counsel in those cases. We have been doing this for 4 decades.
It's amazing. And the fight, we've had victories along the way, and we've had defeats along the way, but we keep fighting every day, every month, every year. We keep fighting, not just for the right to life, but the right of sidewalk counselors to be able to speak about life. You know, and it all just goes to show, you know, that this current administration, it used to be we would talk about, you know, the Clinton administration talk about abortion safe, legal, and rare. We don't have that anymore. We now have an all-out, all-abortion ideology at work in this administration. And the current administration doesn't want to, and what I'm saying is that they just don't want to ensure access to abortion. You know, they want to force people into paying for it. And in the case of medical professionals, they even want to force people into participating in it. You know, sidewalk counselors are literally on the front lines of sharing the pro-life message for those who need to hear it most. And shutting down that speech, you know, it's not just offensive to the right of free speech, which you have been working on, my father-in-law has been working on for 4 decades now. It's an insult to those women who are entitled to hear that abortion is not their only choice. And actually, Jay, I have to say, it all relates to our case in the Eighth Circuit representing the state of South Dakota. You know, abortion is an irrevocable choice with enormous consequences. Why shouldn't women contemplating this choice be counseled about the options that are available to them? Abortion ideologues would prefer to keep women in the dark and ignorant of those options. And all just goes to show that the pro-life cause, which you and others have been working for decades now, is not just in defense of life, the unborn life. The pro-life cause and those pro-life laws are pro-woman.
You know, it's interesting you said that Eighth Circuit case, because there's one where, Jeff, they just put forward a new idea. Again, like seeing in Texas, these are new approaches. And this was informed consent, where they were, before the woman has the actual abortion, she would seek counseling that would be provided, no cost. Just to make sure it's not a coerced abortion, because that has actually been a serious issue. And even that, Planned Parenthood and these groups object to.
They do object, because they don't want women to be fully informed of the choice that they are making. In the case of Planned Parenthood, it's not just that they are 100% behind the abortion ideology, is that for every abortion, it's money in their pocket. And that's how borderline criminal it is. And that is why we should not expect Planned Parenthood, agents of Planned Parenthood, to be giving counseling for a woman who's contemplating abortion about her options. I mean, that's just ridiculous. We need an independent third-party counselor who objectively gives the woman or informs the woman of the options that are available to her. Now, if she hears all of that and wants to go through with her choice, then that is her decision. But right now what we need to do is ensure that women are able to give full and informed consent regarding this irrevocable choice with enormous consequences.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Jeff. You've been fighting this now for decades too. I mean, I think about you and Jordan and that whole our whole team, Eric Zimmerman and Miles Terry. This whole group of lawyers in their now in their 40s, some approaching 50, that have been fighting this, and this fight will continue. We are not going to stop this fight. And Logan, you had mentioned earlier that we have a lot of resources and a lot of content available on this.
Yeah, we've had 30 years of our 40 years almost of archived content on this issue, starting from the very early days of the pro-life movement to how things have changed and what we're doing now. Multiple documentaries, whether that's Choosing Life, which was the history of sort of the 80s and 90s pro-life original movement. I'm sure a lot of you listening were a part of that movement. So you can go back. We have so much great footage from that time period, so it's really interesting to watch. You can see how kind of crazy it got on both sides. Very interesting watch. Again, we made that about 10 years ago, but it's available on acljfilms.com. More recently, we did the film Abortion Inc., which shows sort of more the seedy business side of the abortion industry, if you will. And that's available as well on acljfilms.com. And on the apps also, I believe it's available on the apps we have developed for Roku and Apple TV. You can find that in the ACLJ app. But beyond that, if you go to aclj.org or find our YouTube or Facebook channel, there's so much content on this topic, whether that's news and blogs you can read to keep yourself informed, whether that's full-length documentaries, whether it's clips, things you can share. Look, a lot of times you may have problems to kind of figuring out the words to say when you want to post about this issue. It's very sensitive. We provide a lot of content you can share, a lot of news, science, events that are happening related to the life topic, as well as plenty of other topics that are within the scope of the ACLJ. You can find that at aclj.org. Again, follow us on all social media platforms because we're always posting stuff related to this. Even these, when there's these big cases, there are always smaller ones happening. There's obviously historically so many that we do here. Petitions you can get involved in, and plenty of other ways at aclj.org. That's also where you can go to financially support the work of the ACLJ. Currently, we're in the process of working on a brand new series called Revenge of the Taliban. You saw clips from it yesterday. It's a great multi-part documentary interview series with some of the leading names, whether it's the people you hear here, like Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Rick Grenell, Mike Pompeo, but other people like Tulsi Gabbard, Senator Langford, and Congressman, people everywhere. We're running out of time. I ran out of the list. It's too strong. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls and your comments at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We do have some comments coming in, Dad, that I'd like to address. This is one from Diane on YouTube. She says, will the Supreme Court wait to decide to take a case like Texas until they after they've made a decision on the Dobbs case? Maybe we need to give people a brief background on what the Dobbs case is and how that all works with the Supreme Court.
That's a great question. Look, I think all of the cases, including what we just mentioned at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit case, will all be impacted directly by Dobbs. Dobbs is a case that has actually a direct challenge to the constitutionality of Roe versus Wade. If the Supreme Court, Andy, were to decide Roe is not the approach that would be going forward, that they return it to the states, all of these laws would then be impacted by what happens in Dobbs. Dobbs' arguments in December, I suspect we don't get opinion probably till June of next year.
Yes, I think you're right, Jay. Dobbs is a critical case. It's an extremely critical case because the Supreme Court could very well decide, may dodge the issue. I don't think it will. I think it will decide the constitutionality of Roe versus Wade. And as Justice Thomas has said, there is no constitutional provision granting the right to abortion. I've read the Constitution. I wish somebody who says there is would show me where in the Constitution of the United States Justice Blackmun came up with this idea that there is a constitutional right to abortion. There isn't. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And I want these conservative justices on the Supreme Court to say so.
Well, look, they have the opportunity to do so because, Logan, that case puts its front and center on Roe versus Wade. But Dan raised an interesting point in that there's already an attempt by Congress, and I think, Dan, we need to expand on this a bit, to basically undo this decision, or at least try to.
Yeah, Jane, I really think that. Right, I think that effort in Washington is rooted in a motivation because the left and the pro-abortion industry sees the dynamics of this debate shifting toward life. I mean, you've talked a lot about the medical advances and the fact that when a woman has information, they are more and more choosing life. So what we're seeing, both in Washington and across the country, Jay, is an effort to call off the debate altogether. I mean, in the case that you just talked about with Jeff, they're trying to call off the debate by not allowing that woman to have the information that she needs to make a decision. But here in Washington, Jay, the bill that has already passed the House of Representatives, I call it the Abortion on Demand Act. They call it the Women's Health Care Protection Act. Jay, it basically says all of that debate across the country and all of the state legislatures, all the various approaches, whether it's safety protocols, whether it's a 15-week ban, whether it's a ban once, you know, the most recognizable sign of light, a heartbeat is detected. All of those approaches, Jay, would be thrown off the books. It would be the federal government saying you absolutely cannot pass on the state level any restriction for the right to abortion. That has already moved through the House of Representatives, and Leader Schumer has said he's going to put it on the floor of the United States Senate for a vote very soon. So what you have is a situation where the left says, well, we can't really win the debate over whether or not you should be able to terminate the life of a child with a beating heart. So we're going to end that debate altogether. We're going to pass a law that says all of these state laws are off the book. That way we don't have to defend them. Jay, you got to fight them at all levels, in the courts, in the federal government in Washington, D.C., and in all of these state legislatures.
You know, and the ACLJ is so uniquely positioned, Logan, that we can handle the litigation. As I said, we're in the Supreme Court. I had three briefs in the Supreme Court on the abortion case. And then, of course, taking it a step further. And that is, as Stan said, then you got to deal with it in the state legislatures and in the federal Congress. We're there on all of these fronts. And it's because of the support of our friends around the country that allow us to do this.
Yep, absolutely. And we do have a couple calls now coming in, a couple comments. Let's go ahead and take some of these calls. And I know some are very nuanced, but let's go ahead and try it. Let's go Janet in Pennsylvania, line one. You're on the air.
I'd like an answer from the pro-choice people. If you don't respect life before birth, why respect life after birth? Shouldn't a woman have the right to terminate the life of her baby, say, up to 1 month of age if she realizes caring for her baby becomes too overwhelming? There's no difference.
Yeah, Janet, this is a conversation that obviously comes up a lot. It sort of is a conversation that both sides have. You know, what's often said to the pro-life movement, which is, well, you only care about the baby when the woman is pregnant. You don't care about it after. And then you get the other side of the argument saying this situation. Well, it's like, well, I'm not sure if you care about it when after the baby is born. And what if you wanted to make that call? And obviously we had sort of those disturbing comments that came out of the state of Virginia last year from Governor Northam. So, Dad, it's not that far-fetched to even think about those things.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that I think all of these issues are going to, I mean, there's so much depending, first of all, there's so much riding on the Dobbs case, because if there was ever a chance for Roe versus Wade to be overturned, this is going to be it. I mean, Andy, you've got the most conservative Supreme Court we've had in our lifetime, and you've got the issue squarely in front of the court. So when you put those two together, that, and then every question you have about what the states can or cannot do are going to be answered there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jay. The Roe v. Wade decision in the 1970s and the companion case came out of Georgia. No one remembers that. Doe v. Bolton, which was part of the Roe v. Wade litigation, is now squarely before the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court wants to take it. You know, the court can do what it wants to do, but if it wants to take it, it can squarely take it. We have, thanks to President Trump, let's not forget it, thanks to President Trump, a conservative majority on that court, a pro-life majority on that court, which we hope will now say that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided, like other cases that were before the Supreme Court, and that these now are matters that are do not that, that there was not a constitutional right and is not a constitutional right to abortion, and that these matters should be left to the discretion of the sovereign states.
Dad, I got a question for you.
Yes, and
real
I
quick.
Just got.
We
just got word that the acting Solicitor General of the United States is going to participate in an oral argument. They've got additional time also granted for that argument. Go ahead, Logan.
No, I was going to ask specifically about that. We've got 2 minutes now. So you have the most conservative, you know, court in our lifetime. You have this case up there. How do they blow it? How does this become something where you get up there just pressure? What is it?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, the court's supposed to be above politics and above pressure. And they try to avoid, listen, the Roberts Court has tried to avoid major issues. Now, in this one, it's pretty hard to avoid it, to be quite frank. But you don't know if they're going to come up with some procedural ruling or something. It doesn't appear that's the case. It appears that what we are seeing is, in fact, going to be the answer as to whether Roe versus Wade is the constitutional framework going forward on the abortion issue. We're going to know that literally in a matter of months. So everybody needs to be in prayer. This is our teams at the ACLJ are really heavily involved in this, as you can imagine. And as Jeff Surti said, this has been going on for 4 decades in our work, and will continue in Washington and around the globe, actually, as we stand for life.
I think what's always important is to watch for the Supreme Court when a decision comes out, to give it a minute, because half the time it says you won and you lost, and the other time you lost and you actually won. So you never know what's in those documents. We've seen that happen on the news countless times over the last few years, especially with the Roberts Court. So we'll see what happens. Hey, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, you can do it right now. Go to aclj.org. You can make your donation. You can make it recurring. You can support the work not only that we do legally, but obviously keeping this show on the air, keeping our film studios going, keeping all that we have going on here at the ACLJ running for you. So great content. You know, this is an advertisement-driven show. It's a different type of work here at the ACLJ. So we could use your support at aclj.org. Don't go there just to donate. Go there because each and every day we put up incredible commentary for some of the top leaders in this entire country. Go to aclj.org to see that. Obviously, check out the show each and every day, Monday through Friday. Subscribe, like, do all those things on social media to keep it going and engage with your friends on these issues. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.